Ephesians chapter number 4, if you have your Bible, verse number 11, and we're going to be in several passages of Scripture tonight as we continue working our way. We're not going to be there yet, but tonight we're looking at this theme of gifts are for edification. Gifts are for edification. Ephesians 4, verse number 11, the Bible says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Heavenly Father, thank you for what we've just heard about in our missionaries, and we do, as we'll go to prayer in a little bit, may we recall the things that we've heard. Thank you, Lord, that we have a copy of your word tonight, and I pray that it would penetrate our hearts, that we would be, if we're not already, or even in a more tangible way, that we would be edifiers. And we just thank you for many that have edified us through the years. In Jesus' name, amen. As we consider this thought of edification, the first thing I want to mention is a quote, and it's not really an original quote. You maybe have said it before, something like it. Christianity is not meant to be a spectator sport. Christianity, it's not really a sport, but that's kind of how we think about things when it comes to spectating and watching. The worst thing a churchgoer can do is to be a hearer but not a doer. Let's look at that in James chapter number 1 quickly. Many of you may know the verse. And again, have your Bibles open and ready tonight as always. Philemon, Hebrews, James, and many of you know it from memory. Let's just take a look at it. One of the worst things that we can do is only be a hearer and not a doer. James 1 and verse 22, very clearly the Bible says here, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. In fact, Jesus Christ in the Sermon on the Mount talked about those who are simply bystanders in Matthew chapter number 7. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter number 7, just laying a little bit of groundwork as we consider edification. That's the theme tonight, edification. And by the end of the meeting, we want to, when we leave and go home, I hope it is your desire and prayer to be an edifier if you're not right now. And we'll talk about it. And if you are an edifier right now, to be an even better edifier, because this is something that is not set aside only for, like for instance, the pastor, which we just read about a moment ago, and we'll show you that. Look what it says in Matthew chapter 7, verse number 26. "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine," Matthew 7, 26, "and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand." Taking us back to Sunday school songs, right? "And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it," what? "Fell. And great was the fall of it. He hears the sayings and doeth them not." Jesus here likens that to a foolish man. Now, it is very clear in the Bible, we read about it just a moment ago in Ephesians chapter number 4, that the job or the responsibility, the duty, one of the pastor is to equip the saints. And that's something that I'm praying to do a better job of as an under-shepherd. However, every believer is called on to be a minister of some sort. Go with me now to the book of Romans, chapter number 12. Every believer is called on to be a minister. Basically, we should have, the goal at Anchor Baptist Church ought to be that we have a church filled with ministers. Now, don't think about the religiosity term of minister, okay? Let's not think that way. And that's what we really think about. And I think about it that way too sometimes. you know, you need to have a meeting with the minister, you know, and people, that's the pastor, right? Well, literally, though, we are all to be ministers, okay? Not all pastors, but we're all to be ministers. And the purpose of that, the reason for that, is so that the church, each of us, can be edified, that we can be built up. And look what it says in Romans chapter number 12, verse number 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. So, having different gifts. And again, this isn't the gift list that we're going to, we're not looking at a list of gifts yet. We're heading there. But here we see that everybody has something different. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth with mercy. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. And so here is one of the list of what we would call the spiritual gifts God has given to us to minister within the local church. They are not to be used for our own glory. They are not to be used to get applause or recognition. I don't mean applause, recognition. They're meant to build up. They're meant to strengthen the body of Christ. This should be, Anchor Baptist Church should literally be a church that as people get saved and get discipled and discover the spiritual gift that God has given them, let's see, what was the word I was using earlier and I just lost it? Develop that spiritual gift, because it can be that our gifts can be better. This gift is the same, but it can be developed. You know, when I first learned how to play basketball, you know, I could shoot a 4 or 5 foot shot, and pretty much after practicing a 4 or 5 foot shot 100 times, you know, that thing was going in a lot of the time. But if I just only shot a 4 or 5 foot shot at 18 years old when I was a senior in high school, and that's all I ever did was shoot bunnies, we called them, layups, I wasn't developing anything. And so there was a time where it went from shooting bunnies, layups, to shooting three-pointers. And what happened? The ability or the gift had to be developed. And how does a sport gift get developed? It's not a trick question. Practice. 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 I remember hour upon hour upon hour upon hour going out onto the gravel of our driveway. And that's a good way to learn how to dribble a basketball, is on gravel, because gravel's got pokes all over. It's just rocks, and the balls go everywhere. You got to chase them down. And you eventually said, all right, I'm going to get this thing because I'm tired of running after this basketball. Practice, 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 practice. You know what? That's exactly, it's no different. It's no different. Some of us, and I'm going to say this as lovely as I can, some of us have been saved for 25 and 30 years, but our spiritual gift is not being developed. So it's like we're still shooting bunnies. Somebody's going to go home tonight and think, Pastor doesn't like bunny rabbits. He's shooting bunnies. I got to change that, don't I? Shooting layups. No, those spiritual gifts have to be developed. They don't grow over age. You know what that means? Some people can sit in church for 30 years and the spiritual gift is never developed, and so it's just like it was when they got it. Some people, though, can be saved for 5 to 7 years, and they want to develop that spiritual gift, and in 5 to 7 years, that spiritual gift is really starting to be developed. It's the same one that the Holy Spirit gave them, but it's now developed, and they have matured, as we read in Ephesians chapter number 4. And so this spiritual gift, and so all of us are to be a part of the ministry. That's why part of why Scripture gives us the church as a body. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, talking about edification. We haven't really hit on it yet, but we're getting there. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Scripture portrays the church as a body, an organism. An organism with many organs. Not the ones that have pipes, not the pipe organ. Look what it says, a very small verse, 14. For the body is not one member, but what? Many. The body is not just a spleen. I guess we can do without a spleen. Why did I pick that one? The body is not just the liver. It's not just the kidney. It's definitely not just the heart. The body is all of this comprised together to make one whole, but it's comprised of many members that are very, very important. Each member has a unique role. We won't read through that whole passage, but it's right there. Verses 15 to 25, please take a moment, maybe later during your Bible reading this week for some extra reading, and see that and all contribute something important to the life of the body. The question has to be this tonight, as we think about edification, what am I contributing to the body? What am I contributing to the local church that I'm a part of? That's between you and the Lord to discover, what are you, what am I? And it's not, you don't have to, you're not concerned about the person beside you or behind you. We're thinking about tonight, what is my role? Am I functioning? What am I doing? What is the purpose of edifying? We are to edify or strengthen, to lift up one another. It is a must for every local church. I found this quote: if I am grumbling and complaining on Monday, then I probably was not edified on Sunday. Now, that doesn't mean it's the fault of the pastor or the Sunday school teacher. Because again, I don't come to church to be edified. I come to church to edify. Think about it. Don't come to church to be edified. Come to church to edify. Come to church to build somebody up. Come to church to encourage someone. That's part of the body. That's part of our responsibility. One of the purposes of Anchor Baptist Church existence is that edification. Let me give you several statements now as we look through this. Edify, number one, edify means to instruct or benefit morally or spiritually. It means to build. It means to construct. It means to take a person and strengthen them spiritually. We all need to be strong in the Lord. Amen? Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Why? Because the wiles of the devil, the roaring lying of the devil, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And that's part of edification, is to strengthen us spiritually, that we might be able to, on our own, stand against the wiles of the devil. And having done all, to stand. That's part of this responsibility of edification. Think about the opposite of edify for a moment. The opposite of edify would be to ignore. You can't edify someone who you're ignoring. Think about it. Whether it's in our homes or whether it's in our church, God's church. This is God's church, right? We need to be good stewards of God's church. He's given us a church. I mean, what a blessing on Sunday while we were baptizing over at the other church building downstairs in the basement. Brother Watson was leading Oscar via interpreting through Brother Hendry. Oscar was hearing the gospel and getting saved while we were baptizing two people over in the other church building. I mean, what a blessing. God has given us so much. To whom much is given, much is required. But when we are ignoring someone, we cannot edify them. You think about that, especially if we've got young children in our home. Let me just talk to the parents. You need to be the number one edifier of your kids. And if we're ignoring them, we can't edify them. It's impossible. To the opposite of edify is to put down. You know, I think everyone here, we recognize when we've done wrong. Now, we need to hear it, though. That doesn't mean we always need to be told that we're always doing right. To be put down, the opposite of edify, means to weaken a person spiritually. So I have to ask myself, do I weaken or strengthen the people that are around me, spiritually speaking? And if I'm an edifier, then I'm going to strengthen them. Not because I'm something. It's not about me. Remember that? Remember the verses we read, Ephesians, about Christ being formed in you and that? It's about that coming through. But that's what I want. I want people to be strengthened. That's part of edification. Number two, we purpose to edify with encouragement and consolation. Edification will lead to, and this is really what we need, it leads to greater faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. You know what will help Anchor Baptist Church to continue on for the glory of God? It's a greater faith. What will help Anchor Baptist Church to send more missionaries to the mission field? Greater faith. What will help Anchor Baptist Church to be able to do financially what we need to do? Greater faith. It doesn't matter. You name the subject, you name the part of our Christian walk, it all goes back to faith. And when we edify, and when we're edifying one another, it leads to a greater faith. Secondly, it leads to a greater knowledge. Well, I tell you what, I don't know enough of this book yet, do you? You know what edification does? Helps me to know more of God's word. It's wonderful. And we have 7 people right now going through discipleship. Praise the Lord for that. Did you hear that? 7 people right now are going through discipleship. That is awesome. That's edifying. That's giving more knowledge. That's building faith. And what we want to pray for is that those 7 people will go through the discipleship, and someday, very soon, they will be discipling someone. Edification leads to greater faith. Edification leads to greater knowledge. Edification brings maturity. We need mature Christians, don't we? We need mature husbands. We need mature wives. We need mature teenagers. We need mature men and women of God. We don't need to be, if you will, sucking on a bottle spiritually any longer than we have to be. We need some meat. Edification brings maturity. What is the goal for you in your home? You want to have mature children someday. You want them to be able to do things on their own. I'm not talking about mature in the sense of not having a good time and not laughing and having fun. Hey, I'm all for those kind of things. I'm talking about being able to stand on their own 2 feet someday and look after themselves. Think about it. Spiritually speaking, we need a church filled with people, not holier than thou, but filled with people that have been edified to the point that they are spiritually mature, so that as those new believers continue to come in, we have people that can mentor and edify. What role are you playing in edification? A church that majors on edification will be healthy. A church that majors on edification will be strong. I am all for going out and winning everybody to Christ that we possibly can. I believe that's part of the Great Commission. Part of the Great Commission. It is not the entire Great Commission. There's 2 other parts, at least, to the Great Commission. Go, you could say 4 parts, go, win, baptize, teach, however you want to say it. And I'm praying that I would do a better job of leading Anchor Baptist Church to be diligent in our edification, so that we don't lose somebody to every wind of doctrine. Right? Again, I'm all for preaching and getting people saved as the Holy Spirit convicts and someone is genuinely born again. We're not going to stop witnessing and sharing the gospel. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is we want to be able to have someone that comes to know Christ as Savior who is truly born again, but then is edified and edified and edified and edified and edified and edified. And yes, part of edification is correction. Now, this isn't about telling everybody that they're doing good all the time. That's not edification either. but a church that majors on edification will be a strong church. So let's go quickly to 1 Thessalonians 5. So who should be edifying? Who should be edifying? Well, we've kind of said that already, but let's see what Paul said here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I believe that anchor, the pastor should be an edifier. We just read that. We have an assistant pastor, praise the Lord. And yes, he should be edifying. But well, look what it says here. And I'm not singling us out and holding us up to a higher level, per se. But it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, wherefore comfort yourselves together. And could we read these next three words? Edify one another. Edify one another, even as also ye do. We are all to be involved in the edification of the church. Another verse, I'll read it for you. I have it here. You may turn to it if you like, but for time's sake, I'm going to read it. Romans chapter 14, verse number 19 says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. Let me read the first part. Let us therefore follow after the things, and then I'm going to take out, I'm not taking it out, but I'm just going to skip over the phrase which make for peace, because it just flows together. But let us therefore follow after the things wherewith one may edify one another. And then one more, 1 Corinthians 14:12. 1 Corinthians 14:12. Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. So here we see on three separate occasions, very clearly, that we as a whole, while yes, the pastor and maybe the assistant pastor and teachers and so forth, again, I'm not trying to lift us up, but I'm just saying, to me, it's not a team's responsibility, if there is such a thing, of edifying. It's all team, and we're all on one team. We're all supposed to be edifying one another. You might be edifying one individual or two individuals, and it doesn't have to be necessarily in an organized sit-down discipleship setting all the time. Edification can take place really in a very small window of time. On a Sunday, on a Wednesday, other times during the week, we should be involved in edification. Now, turn to 1 Corinthians 14, please. Spiritual gifts, as we mentioned a moment ago, are given for the edification of the church. In 1 Corinthians 14:26, we're reminded of that. It says, how is it then, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Look at this last phrase, please. Let all things be done unto what? Edifying. Let all things be done. So I conclude from this that everything within the church, from start to finish, ought to have edification in mind. That means when we sing the hymns, we have edification in mind. That means when we have a Sunday school lesson, of course. That means when we're, you know, and I know this is going to sound a little bit trite, but I don't think so. But even when we're listening, we're listening to the announcements. It's not necessarily a biblical principle per se, but to do things decently in order. But there should be some edification in mind. When someone is playing this piano, we've talked about this from the very beginning of the church. Please, that's not the time to discuss the latest sports scores. That's the time to be edified. Edified by the music. And we do, God's helping us have victory in that. We've had a few days where we've had to be reminded of that, and I have to watch myself even talking. And just, why? Because this isn't filler. You know, really, nothing in the church should be filler. It's all about what? Edification. From the time that we walk up and say, good evening, thank you for coming to Anchor Baptist Church, in my heart, I should be thinking edification, 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 edification. We've all had busy, we've had a busy day. You know, we're all a little tired on Wednesday nights. I don't want to waste time. It's edification time. Okay? And really, that's what we're talking about. Everything that we do, Sunday, Wednesday, doesn't matter. Edification. We are not just having a church service to fill time. We are not just meeting together to fulfill some form of religious duty. There's a lot of places you can go and do that, that have a steeple, some of them. And there's lots of people. You know that little one, right? But if I'm going to edify, I got to skip out some of the humor, all right? No, we don't come here just to burn time. We come here to please the Lord and obey and be encouraged, yes, and encourage one another, but for edification. As a Sunday school teacher, you are seeking, by the help of the Holy Spirit, if you're a Sunday school teacher here tonight, to edify those who are under your teaching. We are not entertainers. We are edifiers. Look at verse 3. 1 Corinthians 14:3. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to what? Edification and exhortation and comfort. Edification isn't just teaching and preaching. Edification, it could be said that we are edifying one another when we demonstrate biblical principles. Actions add quite the punch to our words. We all know this. If you say something, especially to children, if you say something and you're edifying them in your voice, but then your actions do not match your edification in tongue, forget about it. You've just nullified the teaching by your actions. And I have done that many times. The point is this, it doesn't have to be in a classroom setting to be an edifier. You can be an edifier simply by your faithfulness to the Lord. You can be an edifier by your walk. We can be an edifier by our walk. We can be an edifier as we faithfully live for the Lord. Love is a big part of edification. 1 Corinthians 8:1 says, now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity does what? Edifieth. Oh boy. Love is part of it. Considering others' needs is part of edification. Romans 15:1-2. By the way, where there is strife, you will not find edification. Strife and edification do not coincide with one another. Edification and unity go together. We find in Scripture, Philippians 2:3. Let's quickly go over there. Philippians 2:3. Edification. Bible says in verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Back to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister what? Grace unto the hearers. So much more. Edification involves caring and comforting. John 13:35. In conclusion, let me make just four, these are four little dots here. Sometimes little dots take a long time to give, though. No, just quick. Number one, being an edifier, in conclusion, being an edifier isn't an option. It is not an option, biblically. Every born-again believer should be an edifier. Number two, in order to be a strong church, we need to be edified properly. This is really reviewing what we've just covered. Number three, edification involves more than just words. Action is the key. Remember? Hearer, all the way back to the very beginning of our message. Hearer of the word and not a doer only. What are we? Foolish. Building our house on sand in the middle of a place where it storms all the time. So edification goes beyond just words. Number four, real ministry work will always include edification. Real ministry work will always include edification. So tonight, I invite you to the ministry. Either for the first time, or to be more involved in the ministry. And I'm not talking about the full-time being a pastor. I'm saying the ministry of edification. It's for all of us. And however God has given you a gift, and we're coming to that. It's taking us a while to get there. But we're building up to see, okay, now this is why God has given me something. Because I'm supposed to be an edifier. For the sake of the church. For the sake of the Lord.